Pastor could just continue preaching. Amen. Please let us pray. Amen. I was enjoying it, sir. Heavenly Father, we worship you. Once again, we come into your presence by the blood of Jesus, under the covering of our spiritual fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus, the Shepherd and Bishop of our souls. And as we go into your word tonight, Lord, we just ask for mercy. Lord, that you will have mercy upon me and upon all my brethren, upon our heart, my heart, Lord, and indeed, Lord, upon my faculties, so that your word will flow out of me tonight like a stream of living water. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, so that the word will come forth with power, with clarity, with simplicity, in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you will do an internal, eternal work in all of our hearts, Lord, including my own, so that our wills will be more submitted to your will, our minds further illuminated with the revelation that comes from the Holy Spirit, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So that indeed, Lord, we will be more ready, Lord, for your coming, Lord, than we have ever been, in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that as your word goes forth, let veils be torn and removed. Let strength come to our feet and our ankle bones. Help us, Lord, to, Lord, run this race that is set before us, walking circumspectly as we follow the example of our fathers, in the name of Jesus. I pray for mercy to be faithful. Help me, Lord, to redeem the time. Lord, to speak as an oracle of God, only those things that you would have me say. So, Lord, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, I will bring forth out of the treasure of this world things both new and old. Let yokes be broken. Lord, let burdens be lifted. Let comfort come to us in Zion, according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. But this word is nothing new. It's something that came from what Pastor has shared with us. And came from our Bible reading. So I want to say thank you to all the people that put together our Bible reading. Good morning, Jesus. Amen. Let's give them a super hand. Amen. I mean, it's just all those things just dovetail together. Mommy and the prayers and the words, you know, the scriptures. You know, just those things. Just the Holy Spirit just picks and puts all those things together. And this is really a pattern after what Pastor shared with us, you know, saving the Zerubbabel generation, and also, you know, the generation that seeks his face. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. And I read from verse 38. Acts chapter 2. Okay, you're there. All right. Let's read together, brethren. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So it's an instruction is given them. Next verse. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off. Amen. This is everybody on the face of the earth. Amen. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And God is calling everybody. But unfortunately, not everybody responds, but God is calling everybody. Verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Wow. Verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized in the Holy Ghost. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice that it's not everybody that responded. No, even the fact that those words are grave and serious. It says, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I'm going to check in the dictionary, just, you know, to see what untoward means. You know, I have an idea, but it's always good to check. You know, and the NIV interprets this word untoward as corrupt. The Amplified interprets the word untoward as crooked. In bracket, perverse. You know, it says difficult to guide or manage. So God has certain people on the face of the earth, both Christians and non-Christians. They are difficult to guide. They are difficult to manage. They are crooked.
And no matter how much God wants to bring them to his expected end, they tend to fall short. That's one of the definitions of untoward. It's unexpected. So something unexpected happens to people whom God had an expectation for. He had a clear expectation for us, for all of us. Yet some of us somehow are falling short of it, which is not God's expectation at all. And as Pastor has taught us, you know, there are two generations, you know, at least in the church. We see that there's a Saul, there's a house of Saul, there's a house of David, you know, and, you know, here we see, but this is really all men, because God responds to men at the heart level. So, you know, whether you are born again or not, God is looking at the heart. Remember 1 Peter chapter 1, where the Bible says, through the sanctification of the Holy Ghost, unto obedience, unto the sprinkling. So when you get born again, it's actually the end of a certain process. God has been drawing you. He has been drawing you. And you've been responding through your heart. So if you're difficult to manage, when God is drawing you, you will leave me alone. I want to do my own thing. We will not be like that in Jesus' name. All right, so this is what God is saying. You know, there's a generation of people that God, even the Lord Jesus Christ, finds difficult to guide to his expected end. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Bible talks about an enviable future. Okay, we will not fall short of it in Jesus' name. The Bible says that they are unruly at heart. Look at Psalm 32. Unruly. Remember, God is looking at the heart. Psalm 32, verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, I will instruct thee. This is God talking. I will instruct thee. Let's read together. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Next verse. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. So there is a generation that God is trying to instruct everybody. He's trying to draw everybody. But there are some that are stubborn and unruly. We will not be like that in Jesus' name. And of course, there is the spiritual generation that uses all that God has provided. Just like Peter preached. And the Bible says that those that believe his word, they use everything God has provided to experience the fullness of his promise. Now, what is this promise that God has made unto us? Look at Psalm 27, verse 8. Just look at this generation. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart. What part of you? My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. This is a heart communication. It's a heart transmission. So they're responding to God in the heart, okay? Now, the promise that God has for us, we see that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 25. Pastors taught us over and over again. 1 John 2. Let's read together. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Amen. And Pastor has preached it, and just simply, it's a privilege to echo it, that eternal life is not living forever. Eternal life is a substance inside God that makes God God. And God shares that substance with everyone whom Jesus Christ brings into the kingdom. That eternal life goes into our spirits and recreates the human spirit. So we are now partakers of the divine nature. So that is what eternal life is. And it's something that we are supposed to be increasing in, as we'll see as we go on. Okay. So here in Acts chapter 2, Peter was preaching and was telling them, say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus, for the remission of sins, and shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He was talking about the earnest. But brethren, it's the same thing to get the fullness. We must keep repenting, an attitude of repentance, and allow ourselves to be baptized with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Using his name. The process is the same. So, you know, when we get born again, then God fills us, you know, baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. And it's that power of the Holy Spirit, that earnest of the Holy Spirit, that we now, because we received the divine nature, but that divine nature now, God gives us the power of the Holy Spirit that it can be pumped.
pumped effectively into the entire system. Of course, no man is spirit, lives in a body, and he has a soul. So the spirit gets born again, but the soul and the body are not regenerate. Okay, they're not born again. So it is our job. And that's why the Bible says, save yourselves. It is our responsibility. God has saved us, but we also need to save ourselves. So that what he's working in us, we will work out the fullness of it for God and men to see in Jesus' name. All right, so God is working that out. And so that power of the Holy Spirit says it is the Spirit that gives life. And the Bible says the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That law operates through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one that really enables the power of God, you know, to flow and to function, you know, in and through our being. And we're supposed to now use this earnest we have received to cleanse ourselves, like the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, in verse 1, from all. Let's look at that word. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Cleanse ourselves from all. Let's read together. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. You know, he's talking there, really. He's talking about the flesh and the soul. We're talking about the spirit, you know. That spirit there is talking about the soul. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That is driving out the sin nature from the soul and from the body, so that divine nature now fills us completely, spirit, soul, and body. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at verse 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. You see that it's a process. Amen. Let's read it together. According as his divine nature has given unto us all things. Notice that nothing is left out. All things that what? Pertain unto life, the substance, and godliness, that's God-likeness. That is the effect that life produces in us. Okay? Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowledge of the word, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious. This is how you save yourself. By these exceeding great and precious, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, the untowardness that is in the world through lust. So we escape. That's how we escape that. And that's the will of God for us. And we will escape it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you see that God has made provision. He's giving us the name. He's giving us the nature. He's giving us the word. He's giving us the spirit. You know, how is it possible that in spite of all God has given us, we don't make it? We're going to make it in Jesus' name. Amen. His investment in us will not be in vain. He has taken great pains. Look at verse 8. Verse 8. For if these things... Now, those things are supposed to produce the fruits of the Spirit or the character of God inside us. Now, he says, if these things, that is the character, the love, brotherly kindness, no virtue, you know, temperance, patience, you know, all those things, if they be in you and abound, they what? Make you that you shall be neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? And then jump to verse 10. He picks up that thought. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give what? I can't hear you. Give what? To make your calling an election. So we have a calling. We have an election. And it is our responsibility to make it sure. That's how you save yourself. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Brethren, can you believe that? We can get to a point where we never fall. We're going to get there in Jesus' name. Say, you will never fall. In Jesus' name. Amen. You didn't say with faith. You will never fall. In Jesus' name. Tell your neighbor, you will never fall. Because you will fulfill this scripture. In Jesus' name. That's why the scripture is given unto us. So we can fulfill it. We can fulfill. And you know, for us to be able to experience, this is God's plan. For us to be able to, now the untoward generation make three mistakes. three key mistakes. Number one, they reject the prophet. They reject the prophet. Look at Acts chapter 7. There is a prophet like unto Moses that God warned in the Old Testament that you must take heed. They say a prophet like unto me will the Lord raise up. So Moses was a standard. As a servant, Bible says Moses was faithful on his house. But Christ is the house. Amen. So he's giving an example. Look at Acts chapter 7, verse 35. This Moses, this Stephen, this Moses, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel which appeared to him in the bush. Next verse. He brought them out after that he had showed wonders and signs. This is the apostolic. Wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness. How many years? 40 years. A real prophet. This is that Moses which said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear. Doesn't give us an option. Just like John Wesley didn't have an option. When they said, who made the judge and ruler and divider? Moses came back as a ruler and a deliverer. So it wasn't left to them. It wasn't their choice. God set Moses and nobody could upset him. It's not a democracy. It's not. It's a theocracy, sir. It's not a democracy. In God's things, and you need to know who the real kings are. Is it so that you know, it's important to really recognize, well, and that's the essence of this message, really. Because the way you save yourself is by submitting yourself fully to the prophet, like unto Moses. Amen? That's really what God is trying. So just as Moses led generations of God's children out of bondage in Egypt, into the promised land, there is also a prophetic and apostolic ministry typified by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Typified by the Lord Jesus Christ that is leading God's people out of bondage to the sin nature into the perfection and the liberty of the sons of God. There is that. There is, and you need to understand, they are mature spiritual kings that are set by God's authority. Look at Psalm 2. It's very important that we understand this. You know, it's not a democracy, like Pastor said. It's not. It's not. You just need to understand which side, and then you pitch your tent. But you have to choose a side. So you have to make an informed choice, so that you will be able to save yourself. Now look at Psalm 2, verse 6. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. There's a controversy. The rulers of the earth are contending with God and his anointed. I know the majority sometimes looks as if they are carrying the vote, but it's not a democracy, like Pastor said. It's a theocracy. So he's saying here, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Next verse. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. So this is talking about Christ. It's also talking about us when we grow up into the fullness of Christ. Amen. Which is the will of God for us. All right. And when we rebel against the prophet that God has sent, like they rebelled against Moses, then it's going to cost us part or all of our eternal destiny. We will not rebel in Jesus' name. The converse is that we must be fully submitted, not be partially submitted. Make sure you're fully. So our submission must grow and increase and grow until we are fully submitted. That is the will of God for us. And now, all right, and we know the example of those that did that. Korah, Dathan, Pastor shared it so powerfully. And Moses said that it should come. They said, we will not come up. They told him that we will not come up. In fact, Moses was angry. Anyway, we will see that later on. Okay. Now, the job of this prophet is to prepare the hearts of God's people for his double glory. That is the job of the prophet. Even in the Old Testament, I came to see that it was actually a job. They were supposed to enter the promised land.
But the condition to enter the promised land was their heart. It was there. God, it was embedded there. God actually put it there. You know, but you know how we like to choose the one we want, and then we leave the one we don't want. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 to 20. It's a very popular scripture. Mommy has taught us from this scripture over and over. Let's read it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you what? Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may live. Next verse. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So they were going into a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land that brought forth fruit of itself, but along the way, it was supposed to produce an effect in their heart, the journey. They were supposed to love God more, obey his voice, and cleave to it so that they would dwell in the land. Otherwise, the land would vomit them out. Which also happened. God told them. But you know, many times we pick and choose when we don't have a choice. We try to pick and choose, you know. And the unruly generation, they omit the sanctification of the soul and the body. But yet they want the physical and material and financial blessing. They want the material. They claim the blessing. They call it, you know, that this is my portion. No, look at it. Look at Numbers chapter 16, verse 13 and 14. Amen. Lord, it's not our portion in Jesus' name. God is just warning us. Amen. All right. So, and the warning is not a curse. Pastor has taught us well. All right. Number 16. Yes. All right. So, this is Moses and Dathan and Abiram. Say, is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of a land that floweth with milk and honey? So Egypt was flowing milk and honey. When you are making bricks without straw, can you imagine? You are making bricks, you are under bondage and servitude. Now you can say with your mouth that it was land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou makest thyself altogether a prince over us. Next verse. Ingratitude. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us what? Inheritance of fields, like Pastor preached. No, of vineyard. See where the eye is going? Covetousness. Will thou put out the eyes of this man? We will not come up. Next verse. And Moses was very wroth. And said unto the Lord, Lord, respect not their offering. It reminds me of the prayer that David prayed. Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Say, Lord, respect not their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, nor have I heard them. You know, Moses' strength, the strength of the prophet apostolic, but is his purity, the integrity and the purity of his ministry. Is a strength. It is the strength. And because of that, what Moses said he was just postulating that if this man died the death of Noah, no, then you know God has not so bad. But if they die a special kind of death, and the ground opens up, and God did exactly that. He did it immediately. He didn't even wait. He didn't even give it some time. He just did it immediately. And what came forth? Let's look at it, you know, so that we can have. We can have the fear of God. Amen. Give it 33. 33. This is them. No, give it to me 31. 30. Yes, 29. It says, if these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. Next verse. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick, express. quick into the pit. Then shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. Next verse. And it came to pass, as he had made an end, he just stopped saying it. You know, all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. Now imagine the physics. So I'm partially a physics student. We did a little bit of physics. Imagine how God will stabilize the ground where everybody else was standing on, and then except that place, and that place just gave way. Yes, sir. It just went down straight. It just went down straight, and then ground just closed up as if they never existed. Brother, we must save ourselves from rebellion. Because that's what a prophet like unto me. You must be careful. You must respect that prophet. Because that's what he's doing. He's charged to bring God's purpose into manifestation. And God is jealous about his purpose. So if you come against him, you're coming against God. Look at Isaiah 40. This is the job that God has and that God is doing. This is what God has spoken about us. Verse 1. Comfort ye. Comfort. How many people of God do we have here? Okay. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people. Saith your God. Saith who? Our God. Saith who? Our. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for us. The double there is the double portion of the Spirit without measure. It is having used the earnest to cleanse herself, she now receives the double portion as a reward. That is why her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned. It doesn't have iniquity again. It has been cleansed. Look at this. Give me this in the Message Bible, just to see. Well, say, speak softly and tenderly to Jerusalem, but also make it very clear that she has served her sentence. She has served, that her sin has been taken care of, forgiven. Amen. That's talking about forgiveness. She's been punished enough and more than enough, and now it's over and done with. The Bible says that she would receive of one hand double. That is God's purpose, to give Zion double for all her sins. Amen. That is for the sin, you know, sin nature in the soul, sin nature in the body. You know, as she submits herself to the purpose, to the process that God is about to show us in verse 3. Look at verse 3 now. Go back to the King James. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. That's the voice of that prophet. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Next verse. Every valley shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough places plain. Next verse. And the glory. Now that glory will not be revealed except this process is complete. The process has to be complete. Amen. And the glory shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So it's a word that God is watching over to perform. Amen. And this shows us what that prophet, that apostolic and prophetic end time ministry is doing. It is preparing God's people so that God is now leading his people out of disobedience, like it says in Luke chapter 1 verse 17, by consistently using his blood, his word, and his spirit to abide and grow up into him in all things. Look at Ephesians 4:15. So it's that's the process. And that's why this prophet after Moses is so key. He brings them into the promised land. The apostolic and prophetic ministry is bringing people into their inheritance. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So that is the end. That's what God really wants us. Well, that's what the end that God has for his church. No, to get to that, at least in the first instance. We see that there is more after they get in there, but that's what God wants the church to get into. Now we need to recognize this Moses, this prophet, and we saw that it's the purity of their ministry. It reminds you of
Acts 20:33, where Paul said, Acts 20:33, where Paul said, I've not coveted any man's gold. Yes, 20:33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. It's purity of ministry. That's why God will not, when he says something, God will watch over the world to perform it. Be like Samuel. Right? So you see that purity. Also, it's important to also mention that the other signs of the apostolic and prophetic ministry, the mature apostolic and prophetic ministry. Number one, 2 Corinthians 12:12, is the fruit of the Spirit. We see that patience. Okay, patience is just one. There are several other fruits of the Spirit, you know, that are a sign of maturity, you know, in these. That's truly the signs of an apostle were all. Notice that the first thing is not signs and wonder. The first thing is not mighty deeds. The first thing is the fruit. By their fruit you shall know them. Okay, of patience. And then, of course, you know, in Luke 6:45. That scriptures we know already, the fruit of good treasure. Okay, that's deep revelation knowledge that you and I can know that transforms our hearts. Look at Isaiah 32. When you hear the message and you see what the message does in your life, then you know that this is a prophet. This is a true prophetic and apostolic ministry. All right, Isaiah 32 says, behold, a king. These are spiritual kings, we said earlier on. That is, they are in perfection, and they also have maturity in the perfection. And that's what makes them spiritual kings. Princes are people that are perfect, but are not mature. They're growing in maturity, but they're not yet mature. Okay? So it says, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule under the kings in judgment. Next verse. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, as a covert from the tempest, talking about divine protection, as rivers of water in a dry place, talking about supplementing our nourishment, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Next verse. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Now this is the effect of the ministry of these kings and princes on those under their covering. They have seeing eyes and hearing ears. They can perceive the things of the Spirit because of the covering, the power of the Holy Spirit coming through the fathers, bringing lights, the energy that causes them to see and understand. So when the believers read that, wow, is that in the Bible? You know, how many that happened to you? Is that in the Bible? Praise God, man. No, then later you see some things that were not obvious, and then you say, praise God, it's borrowed anointing. You are borrowing it. It's not. Look at verse 4. And the heart also of the rash shall what? This is the power of covering. The power to change hearts. But then it's not easy to change hearts. That is the key work in Christianity. To change a heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. Like the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, turn the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. That's where the power is, because it takes spiritual power to do that. That is the spirit of Elijah. You know, and then that power is internal, and as it continues, you allow it to work its full. Have a full work. It produces the glory, which is the manifestation of the power of the power of God. Amen. So we see that. So this is how you recognize. It's by that deep revelation knowledge, you know, by that fruit of the Spirit, you know, by the patience, by the fact that their ministry is pure. They don't extort anything from you. On the contrary, they give. Thank God for our fathers in the house. Let's just give God a super hand. Amen. You know, I'm sorry, sir, but we just need to give honor to monos you. Amen. No, just, you know, we drink from their lives, from their example, you know, because that's what they do. They give. They don't take, you know, whereas there's some other places where they take consistently from the people, you know, and fleece them and force them and honor. But never, so we need to give God the praise. Amen. On the kind of heritage that we have. Amen. So we see that this is how to recognize them. Now, these
this apostolic and prophetic ministry, like Peter, was operating under that unction of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, declares the second P. There are three P's. The first one is the prophet. The second one is the promise. That's what they reject. They reject the promise of eternal life in its fullness. That's what they reject. That revelation of eternal life as a substance, you know, and the fact that you're supposed to have it and have it more abundantly. Like the Bible says in John 10:10, you know, they reject it. Life being made man in their mortal flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. You know, they reject it. And how, you know, the Bible in Luke 24:49 calls the Holy Spirit the promise of the Father. You know, but you know what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit gives life. He injects, he ministers the life to us. So when we pray in faith from the promises that are given in 2 Peter, where it talks about no exceeding greater principle, as you pray, it's the Spirit that ministers life. It's the Spirit that gives you life in your soul, in your spirit. Depending on what the scripture promises, it's the Spirit that ministers that life. So really, the promise is the Holy Spirit and the life that he ministers. Amen. All right, so that's the, and the Bible says, you know, if you look at it in John 16, 13 and 14, let's look at it. John 16, 13 and 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself purity, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, this is the difference between the unruly and the submissive. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that gives light. He gives life. In that life is the light of life. And it's that light now that opens up the word. That's why I call it the Spirit of truth. He will now guide you into all truth. You know, in, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 3, where it says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. You know, let's look at that scripture. Yes, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Next verse. That the man of God may be what? Yeah, if it's not possible, he won't say that. It's to be perfect, thoroughly furnished or equipped unto all good works. So it's the same scripture that the Holy Spirit will take and open up. So the Spirit, just like the children of Israel journeyed from one place, they went to Sukkoth and they went to Pihahiroth. The same way we also journey from one place, and our destination is to enter into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Amen. And God uses the scripture, opens up, gives you a revelation here, you walk in it. Gives you another revelation here, you walk in it. You know, you begin to walk in the word until the word becomes flesh in our experience. That's the will of God. Amen. And that's the promise. That eternal life is critical. Otherwise, you won't know the true God. It says this is eternal life. That you might know the true God and Jesus Christ, his son. You know, so with that, you'll be serving God, but the God you are serving is not the true God. It is you think it is God, but it's not God. Because your heart is not submitted to receive from the Spirit of God the truth of God's word in the Spirit of God. So that is important, and for those it's important that we submit to that truth. You know, Bible says the Lord is that Spirit. Amen. So this Holy Spirit is one that leads us into our inheritance. So that's the second thing, the promise. And then of course the third thing is the purpose. The purpose. They reject the purpose. You know, and what is the purpose? The purpose is Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Let's read it together. Romans 8, verse 30. Pastor taught us on Sunday. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Amen. So we see that this is the 29. Give me 29. Yes, 29. Thank you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Firstborns are firstborns. The others are like them. They are human beings just like them.
You don't have a firstborn human being and then have a secondborn who is a robot or who is a dog or who is not. Do you understand what I mean? So, yeah, there's the same image. Yes, the seed. Thank you, sir. It brings forth after its kind. You know, so that is the that if the root is holy, this is the root. No, then also then the branch is also holy because we are coming from this image. So the key is to be conformed to the image of his son. And then in verse 30, he talks about being glorified, carrying the glory of God. All right, because it's when, and like it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, you know, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then when that's then you God entrusts the glory unto us. And then when we have the glory, then you then go out and use that glory in Matthew 28, verse 18, to make disciples of all ethnos. That is the purpose of God in that order, until the earth is filled with the glory of God. As the waters cover the sea. Numbers 14:21. Notice that God said this in Numbers. As far back as in Numbers. That as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory. What do you do with this scripture? It's not been fulfilled. It's not been fulfilled. Is you and I are going to fulfill it in Jesus' name? By God's grace. Amen. So we see that. So this apostolic and prophetic ministry declares the promise and puts us on the path to the fulfillment of the purpose. Amen. And when we reject truth, that's a dangerous thing. When you reject the truth of the Holy Spirit that comes through them, then it just indicates the unprepared spiritual state of our hearts. For example, you know, this is quite straightforward. Though the Bible says that in the Jews, the Pharisees, because they rejected John's ministry, they couldn't follow Jesus. They were not prepared because John's ministry was to prepare their heart for Jesus' ministry. So when John, when Jesus asked them, "Who do you say John is?" They had a serious problem because they couldn't. They knew they rejected him, so they were trying to find a middle ground. And Jesus didn't even answer them; just ignored them and all that. All right, so you see that when you reject truth, the truth is supposed to set us free from infirmities and weights and sins that do easily beset us. Amen. And when we allow it to work in us and it frees us, and then we are able to respond to truth, walk in truth, you know, obey truth and become the truth. Amen. That's the will of God. Now, a good example, I just picked this example. Of course, there are many, many examples in the Bible when you talk about people that save themselves. We know that for example, in the population of 3 million people, Joshua and Caleb saved themselves. Out of 12 sons, David saved himself. That's how I pick up it. 8 sons. David saved himself. Thank you, sir. All right? You know, but there's an example that, I mean, it came up in our regular Bible reading, so I just decided to use this. Look at 2 Kings chapter 1. I'm sure you recognize it once we turn there. Chapter 1, verse 8. Go down. Give me verse 7. Yes. All right. This is the servants of the king giving him a report of what Elijah said. Now, Elijah is a spiritual king. Now, this is a physical king. He's sending his servants to go. They are captains over 50. Can you imagine? They are instructors, and they were sent to go and pick a father, and they were just going like that. They didn't even think about it. They didn't discern. That's barely, sir. All right. So verse 8 says, when he said unto them, "What manner of man was he which came to meet you and told you these words?" Next verse said he was a hairy man, and was girt about with a girdle of leather around him. He didn't have anything comely. He did nothing to make them know that this man is a serious person. No, you don't mess with this kind of person. No. He just looked at his physical appearance and just thought, and after the flesh. And he said, "It is Elijah the Tishbite." Next verse. And then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. On m'a rien ni chez vous. May God have mercy on us. When they send you on an errand, you will ask the Holy Spirit for mercy and wisdom to deliver the errand. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. Who will dwell on the holy hill of the Lord? He had a pure hands and a clean heart. So he's there by purity. He's there by integrity. But they didn't discern. And he spoke to him and said, "Thou man of God, the king has said, come down." It was a mistake. Suffice to say, all right, Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, "If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. We know the story. It happened the second time with another man. And it would have kept happening. But the third man, when he saw what happened, I was like, "Brother, you must laugh from that people's mistake. Don't wait to make your own. Laugh from that people's mistake." So verse 13. And he sent again a captain of the third 50 with his 50. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees. Highly esteeming. That's reverence and submission. And said unto him and besought him and said, "Oh man of God." He said, "I pray thee, let my life." What was he asking for? Life. "Let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants, let it be precious in thy sight." Next verse. "Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burnt up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight." Next verse. And the Spirit of the Lord. Verse 15. "And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him. Be not afraid of him. And he arose and went down with him unto the king." How did he save himself and his 50? By his attitude. His attitude. And that is it. That's what Joshua and Caleb had. His first thing is attitude. Now you add some other things to it. You have to obey instruction. Okay, you have to do other things. But the first thing is the attitude. Attitude of submission. A heart that highly esteems spiritual authority. Now how do we save ourselves? We've already more than said it practically. Just summarize it. Look unto Jesus. He's the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We look at him through the spiritual fathers, Abraham, and look at Isaiah 51. Verse 1, Isaiah 51. Says, "Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness. Ye that do what? Seek the Lord." This is the generation of him that seek his face. "Look unto the rock whence you are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence you are digged." Next verse. "Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." Next verse. "And the Lord shall comfort," as Isaiah 40 again, "Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." Amen. So we see that is how we do it. We do it by following after spiritual fathers, fully submitted to their authority. Now, I wanted to bring out something here that the Holy Spirit showed me. Acts chapter 2, in verse 24, we see a truth. Let's just read it quickly. Yes, 24. Acts chapter 2, as we begin to close. "Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding by it." God is making a statement here that it was not possible for death to hold Jesus captive. Look at next verse. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved." Next verse. "Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope." Next verse. "Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and I will thou suffer thy holy ones." This is the word of God. By Jesus exercising his faith in God and in God's word, death could not hold him.
The Spirit, that's what God is telling us, that the Spirit of God was able to raise him up. Verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the way of life, the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now, if this happened to the pattern son, then it's also your portion. It's the portion of spiritual fathers. And you know, this is a scripture by the mercy and the grace of God. A present truth word that mommy brought, you know, in Psalm 16, verse 5. That's where the original scripture is that Peter is quoting. You know, it's that word that he's bringing forth, you know, and is echoing over our lives, over our fathers, and by extension, over us. Amen? And you know, we say that. Let's look at it. Just Psalm 16, verse 5, because I think it's so important to understand, you know, that we are, like Pastor says, we are at the, it's very imminent now. Say, I've set the Lord always before me. Give me verse 5. Verse 5, that's where it begins. Verse 5 to 11, quickly. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. Amen. Talking about God being our inheritance. The lines are falling unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly or godly heritage. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. That counsel, the Holy Spirit leading you into the fullness of all that he has prepared. Amen. My reins also shall instruct me in the night seasons. All right, next verse. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Amen. That means that we can stand steadfast on this path to divine purpose. Amen. And we shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Now verse 10 doesn't apply to us. Let's go to verse 10. That's talking about Jesus particularly. And is that an application to us, in that he will not leave our soul in the hell of spiritual immaturity. Amen. Or suffer us to see corruption in our mortal body. But it will take us through into the end. Let's look at verse 11. Thou will show me the path. So there is a path that the Holy Spirit has to show us, that our fathers are leading us under God, leading us the path to go, the path of life. Okay? And we obey their instruction, so that as we walk in that path of life, in his presence, we find fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's where has God taken us into the fullness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 5, 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest. That's the word, in our body. Amen. Next verse. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. He said it twice for witness. So God is telling us that this is our portion. We are able to do it. Amen. So how then do we do it? Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Go back to verse 42. Go to 41. It says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them 3,000 souls. Verse 42 now. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, following the prophets. Amen. Amen. And fellowship. So you're talking about fellowship in prayer, fellowship in the word. That's why we have Bible reading, we have daily Rema, we are fellowshipping, we are continuing the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. Next verse. And fear, that's the fear of God, came upon every soul. And the next thing is the glory. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Amen. May the Lord cause his word to be reality in our lives and in our experience, in our midst, in this house. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. We thank God for that word. Give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. And I believe it's a really present word for us. We need to save ourselves from this untoward generation. This is, like I said recently, you know, we're living in very challenging times. You know, the generation, the kind of terrible challenges that our generation is facing, it's going to take the grace and the mercy of God for us to overcome those challenges. An untoward generation indeed. Rebellious, self-willed, people who reject the obvious word of God, you know, and encourage those who want to do the wrong thing that they are doing the right thing. The Bible actually says so, you know. And the only thing I would probably just add to what Pastor Conley, you know, whenever you listen to messages like this, you have to take something away. You know, the characteristic of this wrong generation, why we teach about bad examples so that we don't copy them. You know, so we make sure we don't fall into the same mistakes they fell into. They rejected the promise, the prophets. And that's one characteristic of this generation. They reject the prophetic ministry. You know, yeah, up till today. You know, you go, you share. They don't want to hear that. Then they reject the promise. Then they reject the purpose. Like I was sharing on Sunday, it's so easy to just shift a little bit. The purpose of Christianity is not just prosperity and good success, even though it will give you prosperity and good success. That's the subtlety there, you know. Without sounding repetitive, but it's so important. You know that you walk in love so that God can answer your prayer. It's in the Bible. He said, you know, whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do things that are pleasing his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on him and, you know, love one another as he gave us commandment. So if you're not careful, you'll be walking in love so that you can get something. Which is not wrong, but that's not the reason why you're walking in love. You're walking in love to grow up into him in all things. Speaking the truth in love, that might grow up into him in all things. But if you're not careful, even your love walk now becomes motivated by what the blessing that is going to come from it. Mercy, you know, that's why you have to read the Bible very carefully. You know, under the Holy Spirit. Yes, you will get answers. But that's not, I'm not walking in love simply because I want to get something. I walk in love so I can become like God. Because God is love. Now, the byproduct of that is that my prayers will be answered. The byproduct of that is that I will succeed and I'll prosper and I'll have good success. Those are byproducts, but they're not the purpose. And when you now make the byproduct the purpose, then you become part of the untoward generation. That's why we have this army of tares. You have this army of Christians today who have made the blessing the purpose. The blessing is not the purpose. You know, and I think that's the thing we all need to keep our focus on so that, you know, we keep our focus on the purpose and not get distracted by the blessings, you know, and then that becomes our main motivation, and then we put, as it were, the cart before the horse. You know, and then the other thing we saw here was the importance. Pastor Conley, I think he tangentially hit it. He mentioned it certainly. You know, it says, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. It is crucial
to be able to get to where God wants you to get to have people who are following, you are following, who are also following Christ. That's what, God doesn't leave the thing in abstract. So he gives you, yes, Jesus is there, Jesus is in heaven, but you need people who are here on the earth, who are following Jesus, that you can see the example, and then you can then follow them. So Paul the apostle himself said, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. And in every generation, God raises up, he says, and he has set some apostles, prophets. He has set people that will be following Christ so that you can then follow them. You know, I've shared this. You know, we, by the grace of God, followed men like Kenneth Hagin, E.W. Kenyon, Kenneth Copeland, and others, you know, who have been following, you know, some of these things. And by following the examples, we ourselves have learnt. There's a lot I'm doing today I would not be doing if I didn't have men, you know, to follow. This issue, and the Greek word is mimetes, where we get the English word mimic. You know, and you know, if you look at that thing in the natural, it's almost as if it makes you look stupid. Why should you be mimicking somebody? It's only children that mimic people. I mean, I'm bigger than you now. I mean, I've grown, so I don't need to mimic anybody. But exactly, and you cannot enter the kingdom. He said so. He said, except you receive the kingdom as a little child, you have to mimic. You have to follow, you know. Joshua followed Moses. Elisha followed Elijah. John followed the Lord Jesus. You know, Ruth, you know, Timothy followed Paul. There is no getting around that thing. There is no getting around it. You know, and there is no such thing as, I will read the Bible myself. Because there's so many things you will not see. Unless there is a man that God has used to open it up to you, then the Holy Spirit will now take off from there. But you have to follow. You have to follow people, you know. But don't just follow anybody. He says, follow them as you have us for example. So there's a standard, and that's why God gave us the Bible, so you can find out if the person that you want to follow is meeting up to the divine standard or not. And it is only when they are meeting up to that, or should I say it this way, it is the degree to which they are meeting up to the divine standard that you should follow them. So don't follow blindly. You follow, and you say, considering the end of their conversation. You follow, you know, looking at, you know, what, and if they go off track, you don't follow them to go off track. Because men can go off track. That's why it's important to follow, but it's also not, it's important also not to follow blindly. You have to follow. That's why God has given us his word. So his word now becomes the standard by which you now judge what the other people are doing, you know. And the last thing I'll just add to this is, Pastor Conley mentioned it when he was talking about, you know, that wonderful scripture in 2 Peter. You know, when he was quoting that scripture, I was looking at Pastor Quigga. I see this scripture is unbelievable. I can never forget, you know, when I was a younger Christian, I first read those words, can these things be true? It was E.W. Kenyon I first read after. E.W. Kenyon is one of the greatest apostles of the last century. You know, Kenneth Hagin, our foundations are all in E.W. Kenyon. God, he was a unique, God just gave him that, in our generation, when I say our generation, in this time, in this last 100, 200 years, E.W. Kenyon was the man that God used to unveil the Pauline revelation. It had been closed since the time of Paul. Not even the Wesley brothers. The Wesley brothers had some understanding, but not to the clarity that E.W. Kenyon had. E.W. Kenyon, God used him to open up the Pauline revelation. You know, and I remember reading after E.W. Kenyon where he said that one day he was studying the Bible, you know, and then he went to go and write all the things God said that the New Testament Christian had. He said when he finished writing, he said he trembled. But is it true? If this thing is true, I mean, you know, and it is true. That's why the Bible calls it exceeding great and precious. It's that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If words mean anything, God has just emptied himself into us. That's what Christianity is. That's why it's so, you know, you need faith. You need, you know, says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to. So that's what I'm called to. I'm called to glory. We are called to glory. It says the same in Timothy. Called to obtain the glory. That's my purpose. I will shortchange myself and my life if I settle for anything else. And sadly and regrettably, you know, many of our people have cut short that purpose and they made the purpose heaven, which is a gift. So, the thief on the cross fulfilled his purpose? No. He went to heaven. But he didn't fulfill his purpose. And that should teach you not to be a thief. He didn't fulfill his purpose. He didn't fulfill his purpose. But the purpose is glory. You'll be called to glory and virtue. So, you want to follow people who are following that. You have to follow people who are following that. So with the right attitude, you know, I've said this, I've emphasized this strongly in recent times, and I will close with this, and it is this, you know, it is giving all diligence to make your calling and election sure. Okay, Pastor Kunle mentioned that, you know, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. But how? By grace and mercy through faith. Even the diligence is by faith. So everything we're asked to do, we have to do it by the grace and the mercy of God through faith. So none of these things, they sound, sometimes they sound so hard and they sound so high. Ah, can it be done? Yes. By grace through faith, that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. God has not answered to do impossible things. Well, he has. But he has asked us to do impossible things by his power. So because it's God who is working in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, what is impossible now becomes easy. What is impossible now becomes possible. His yoke is now easy and his burden light. If I was doing it by my own power, it would be impossible. But because it is not me who is doing it, I, yet not I, but the grace of God which is with me, then it is possible. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Save yourself from this untoward generation. We're living in a terrible generation. It's always been like that, Pastor G. It's just that this our own generation is a little bit specialized. It's always been. There was a generation in Sodom and Gomorrah. There's a generation of children of Israel who disobeyed in the wilderness. There's always, on the earth at any point in time in history, there's always been a generation that is rebellious, that is, you know, stubborn and all of that. And there's always been a generation that yields to God. You just have to choose. But our own generation, I think we have a peculiarity because it's the end time generation, and then iniquity has abounded. Iniquity has always been there, but not like it is today. Not like today. Not like today. Not like today. It's always been there, but the Bible tells us that it's a characteristic of the end time. It is, the iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. There are some things I read in the papers these days. I can this be true? The way people behave, you know, the go and check Timothy. It's a perilous time shall come. Disobedient to parents, lack of. Go and check the if you will tremble when you read that list. It's all there. Lovers of selves, covenant breakers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And then to cap it all, we have social media. Throw that, the thing is spreading. It's spreading the iniquity like wildfire, at a faster rate than has ever been done in any other generation, because they did not have the communications platforms that we have today. Before, if something happened in America, you will not hear about it here. In the time of our own parents, when our own parents went to England in the 1940s, my mother went to England in 1948. You know, when they went to England, you know, once you go, you've gone. Before you hear, it may take 1 month or 2 months if you write a letter. You know, and usually when they go like that, they go for 4 or 5 years before they come back home. You know, but today, I'm talking to people in America right now on my WhatsApp. So if some evil happened in some state like Nebraska, I'm just pulled that out of a hat. You know, nothing wrong with Nebraska. You understand? If it was even 20 years ago, it was 30 years ago, it would take time before you hear about it. Today is instant. It's instant. So the evil, the iniquity that is abounding is instantly being disseminated. That is why you must save yourself. Like Pastor Kunle rightly said, it is your responsibility. But God will help you to do it by His mercy and grace. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. We have challenges, but where sin abounded, grace did much more. So don't let the enormity of the problem weigh you down. With the enormity of the problem, there is also an explosion of grace. Let grace and peace be multiplied. So multiplied grace overcomes abounding iniquity. But it is your responsibility to receive it. And it's the heart, because God gives grace to the humble. So it comes back to the heart. Your heart will determine the grace you receive to deal with the abounding iniquity. Hallelujah. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Renewed. Flowing, hallelujah. Flowing from the grace that I found. Hallelujah. This is the answer, folks. And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses. Weaknesses I see in me will be stripped away. Let's start again. Lord, I come to you. Start again from the beginning.
Lord, I come to you. Lord, I
don't just sing it as a song. Sing it as a prayer from your heart.
Heart be changed.
Renewed.
flowing from the grace that I found in you.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah.
And Lord, I've come to know the weaknesses I see in me
will be stripped away. Hallelujah. By the power of your love.
God. In the power of your love.
Lord, unveil my eyes. What a prayer.
Lord, unveil my eyes. Lord, unveil my eyes.
Let me see you face to face. The knowledge of your love. You live in me.
Glory be to God. What a prayer. What a song. Hallelujah.
Lord, renew my mind as your will unfolds in my life.
Raise the other hand to God as we respond to God's word through his servant to save ourselves by the mercy and the grace of God, by faith through the mercy and or by the grace and mercy of God through faith from this untoward generation. Indeed it is, but we can save ourselves, and we must save ourselves, escaping the corruption
that is in this generation through lust.
Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins, and so we cling with the blood from all unrighteousness, receiving your blood. In Jesus' name we have life. We receive your life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. We receive your power as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me tonight. A word of warning and a word of encouragement to save myself by your mercy and grace through faith from this untoward generation that I am living in. A generation in which iniquity is abounding, the love of men is waxing cold, Lord, and all kinds of horrible things are happening on the earth. But I thank you for your word that says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And therefore, Lord, I come to embrace, I come to receive this abounding grace that will enable me to overcome the abounding iniquity by increasing the humility of my heart. I humble myself under your mighty hand so that I will receive abounding grace to overcome the abounding iniquity of this untoward generation and thereby save myself from this untoward generation. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. And say, Father, we confess our sins, so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, receiving your blood. In Jesus' name we have life.